Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing left for you to hold. All I want. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom and welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Ishyah Yisrael from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 2330 Kemper Lane, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in to our listening and viewing audience, for we know that the only reason you have tuned in is because of your great love and fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only redeemer of Yisrael and the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yahweh is the one that has ordained us to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we will do this evening. And praise the mighty Yah. We are going to present to you the second part of our teaching for this week, Psalms 133. And what is being emphasized in Psalms 133, if we turn there, we'll see what the Almighty had his servant speak. In Psalms 133, it reads, "Behold," means understand this, look at this, get on this. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. There Yah commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. So this here is Yahweh letting us understand that the unity of brethren dwelling together is good and pleasant. It is the only place in the Holy Scriptures that Yahweh says something is good and pleasant, meaning it's complete and it's delightful. Nothing better than this. The only thing that is as good as this is when Yahweh anointed the priests that would minister before him, where he gave them the order where they would command the blessing upon the children of Israel, even life forevermore, on Mount Zion, Yah's holy hill, the most holy real estate on earth. There's nothing more good and pleasant than brethren dwelling together in unity. And this, brothers and sisters, is something that we have to put our minds on so we can achieve this great vision that the Creator laid upon our hearts. The Almighty wants you to know that no matter what they're talking about in the world today, separate, 6 feet apart, stay at home if you have to, all these no gatherings over 10, yet stores can open, yet bars and restaurants can open. In these various places of commerce and business where there will surely be gatherings over 10, you can't have gatherings more than 10 or more than 20 or more than 50. Yet you can go and spend money in droves. But no matter what the so-called powers that be tell you, nothing is more good and pleasant than brethren dwelling together in unity. Not enemies, but brethren dwelling together in unity. And the Almighty, He has a gathering in which this becomes visualized, this becomes into fruition. You're able to see how beautiful this is, this unified gathering. If you go to the book of Psalms, as it was laid out yesterday, that this is what Yahweh sees as good and pleasant. This unity, which means to be one. The word unity, yakad, comes from akad. It means to be one. And what is more better than being one? And in Psalms 50, verse 5, Yahweh said, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." So your brethren that you dwell together with in unity should be those of the saints of the Most High, dwelling together, because you are together because of your holiness to the Creator, because of your dedication to the Most High, because of the sacrifices that you take together to praise Yahweh, to walk with Yahweh, to honor Yahweh, to extol the name of the Most High. You do this with your people together. Yahweh called for this gathering, called for this type of unity. You didn't see where he said, "Gather my enemies together so they can praise me." But there is a place where Yahweh will gather his enemies. If you go to the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter, because this gathering of these enemies of Yahweh is necessary so we can achieve the vision that Yahweh has put forth to see how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In the book of Zephaniah, 3rd chapter, verse 7 reads, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punished them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon me, or call upon the name of Yah, to serve him with one consent. You see, the Creator is going to gather all the enemies of Yahweh together. Everybody has to deal with Yahweh's gathering. And Yahweh told his saints to be he-goats before the flock. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired, before the day of Yahweh go forth. So before this day of world judgment bring forth, you got to gather yourselves together before Yahweh comes and puts the world in its place. The saints of Yah should already be gathering themselves together, because he's going to gather these nations and he's going to dismiss of them all. In doing so, he's going to return unto the world a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one akkad, united. That's what akkad means, united, with a united consent. Because this is Yahweh's ultimate vision, that the whole world will praise him. The whole world will serve him. This was his determination from the beginning. And man corrupted their ways and has caused the great scattering of the people. But look what Yah says in verse 10. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. See, you're dispersed and you're scattered today. But Yahweh, his goal is for you to be gathered. In that day shall thou be ashamed, shall not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. He's going to take away the arrogancy, because Yahweh requires humility. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yahweh hath taken away thy judgment. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even Yahweh, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. See, this is what you're going to realize when Yahweh disperses and eradicates of the enemies. You're going to have joy in singing. And he's going to make sure you're returned and gathered. And it's a rejoiceful time. In verse 16, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Yahweh thy Elohim in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. When you're gathered, Yahweh is even going to rejoice with joy. He will rest in his love. Yahweh will be at peace, at rest in his love when you're gathered. He will joy over you with singing. Yahweh will be so elated that you have returned in his praise that he will be singing. He said, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, of whom the reproach of it was a burden. This is what the Creator will do. He will gather not only the dispersed of his people, but he will even gather the enemies so they can be eradicated and that we can rejoice, gather together in joy with no arrogancy, but humility and rejoicing to the mighty Yahweh. This gathering will take place. So if this gathering is so illustrious and beautiful in the eyes of the Almighty, if this is so awesome and magnificent in Yahweh's heart, then how do you think he feels about sowing discord? Well, let me show you what Yahweh states. And because we're dealing with how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, I'm just recapping a little bit of what went down yesterday, because today we're going to show you how good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity among your family, because this is where it all begins. If your family cannot be unified, then how can you be unified with other people? So in the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16 reads, these 6 things doth Yah hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, he hates that. That's why brethren can't dwell together in unity, in haughtiness, in arrogancy, because you have to be meek. That's why Zephaniah 2 lets you know to seek meekness, to seek righteousness, because you have to be meek in order to gather yourselves together. You have to be meek in order to be unified. So Yahweh despises a proud look. He hates these big I's and little U's. He hates these poked out chest people beating on their chest. Who's the boss? Who's the prince? Who's the king? Who's in charge? Yahweh is in charge. Yahweh is the king. Yahweh is the boss. Humble yourself to this fact before you start wondering who is running anything. Yahweh runs everything. A proud look, he hates it. A lying tongue. You can't gather yourselves and you harbor lies. The scriptures let you know, the law lets you know, you can't bear no false witness against your neighbor. So how you going to be together and y'all lying on each other? The law lets you know, don't lie to one another, nor deal deceitfully. How can you gather yourselves together and you lying and being deceitful to one another? These things create corruption and erode at the fabric of unity. And hands that shed innocent blood. How can Cain and Abel have dwelt together if Cain murders his own brother because of envy, anger? Yahweh hates hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination. How in the world can you be together and all your imagination against one another is wicked? Feet that be swift to running to mischief. This is not the ways of the Most High, to always look out to run to mischief and trouble and bring these bad spirits and bring these bad habits back to your house, back to your brethren, back to your community. In verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. The seventh thing which makes these seven abominable things, Yahweh hates these things. And the final one, because all of this will breed discord among brethren. Therefore, the Creator wants us to be united. Even look in Proverbs 16, verse 28. It says, a froward mouth soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Which means what? If you have a froward mouth, meaning you mean, you speak harsh, you don't have a righteous filter, you don't have consideration with your tongue, you just say whatever your emotions drive you to say. If somebody says, man, I don't know why so-and-so said that to me, or bump so-and-so, I hope they jump off a cliff and kill themselves. That's a froward mouth. But this is how people speak today. Go kill yourself. I mean, we never said nothing like this coming up. Go kill yourself. What is that? That's a froward mouth. Just telling people to go knock their own self off. Telling people you don't care about them. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you do. Jump in a river. Die. Froward mouth. Mean people. No consideration with how they speak to anyone. A froward mouth soweth strife, and a whisperer, somebody just whispering, snitching, tale-bearing, a whisperer separateth chief friends. That's what they do. They whisper. Now what? Oh, among chief friends. And who's more of a chief friend than your own family? Look at Proverbs 17 and 9, where it says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Meaning what? If you love one another, you're going to cover over these transgressions you might have had towards one another. You could discuss it, but you're going to cover it. Look, we brothers, we family, we sisters, we husband and wife, we family. This thing, we're going to let pass. But if you keep on returning to this matter, whether you keep on mentioning this matter or the offender keeps on committing the same offense. You will separate very friends. This is not how unity appears. This is not how unity behaves. This is discord. So we have to be considerate of our ways when it comes to these matters of unity in our behavior among each other. So let's go to the book of Genesis, the second chapter. In Genesis chapter 2, we'll begin reading at the 23rd verse where it reads, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones," looking at his newly formed wife. "This is now bone of my bones," because she came out of his rib. "Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God, united. So a husband and his wife are to be one. Not two, not three, not four, not five, but one. This is what even establishes a marriage, a household. Your marriage can't be established until you become one. It's unestablished. It's on shaky ground. It's not holding up well if it's not one. And Yah already let us know that it's good and pleasant to dwell together in unity, for brethren to dwell together in unity. So if it's good and pleasant, then of course it is incumbent and required and a complete necessity that the husband and wife are one. This is even what was said before anybody else was made. This is what was said on the sixth day of the first week. Man and woman shall be one. Because this is the proper way to dwell together in unity, by being one. Now, how do you be one in your two separate people? Are there laws? Are there statutes? Are there judgments? Are there any testimonies? Is there anything that gives us instruction and an explanation on how two people become one? Is it like what they teach in Christianity? The Godhead? No. So what is this one? Even though you're dealing with more than one person. Look in the book of Genesis, the third chapter. And before you go to Genesis, the first chapter, or third chapter, go to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. I want to show you what Yahweh lets us know. In Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, the fourth verse, it states, "Shema Yisrael," or "O hear, O Yisrael." Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. "Hear, O Yisrael. Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yah." He's one. He's united. And how is that relevant? Well, you've been taught that Elohim means more than one God. You've heard that. Elohim is plural. and it means more than one God. Well, yes, it can mean more than one God. But the word Elohim does not mean God. The word God doesn't exist in Hebrew. The word Elohim or Elo or El exists in Hebrew. And it does not mean God. It actually means power. So Yahweh is one, but he has a multitude of powers. So here, O Israel, Yah, our powers, is one. He's one. All of his powers is one. They're all united. They're all together. They're not separate from him. Just like you're one person and you have a power, you have many powers, you have many abilities. Yahweh himself has various and innumerable powers, more than you know. But even though he has all these great powers, he's one. There's not a sun power and a moon power, a tree power and a water power, a grass power and a bird power. Is one power, and that's Yah. He's united. He knows how to be united. He's one. There's only one Yah. And if he can be one, then you should be one with him. Look what it says in the book of Psalms 86. In Psalms 86, verse 11 reads, "Teach me thy way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Yeah, you got to unite your heart because your heart is dubious. Your heart is double crossing and triple and quadruple crossing you, your own self. Your heart is tricking you every single day, is trying to tug at you and get you to do something rebellious. Your heart don't want to do right. So you got to pray to the Most High like this servant. You got to pray to Yah and say, "Yahweh, teach me your way, because your way is Akkad. Your way is one. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth," because truth is only one truth. "Unite my heart." You got to do this, Yahweh, because my heart is sadistic. "Unite my heart to fear your name," because Yahweh's name is one. So this is all about being one, being united. And this is what you got to do. And Yahweh desires this for himself. He wants you to walk with him in unity. Be one with the Most High. Look what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And then we're going to get back to the family. Deuteronomy 18, verse 13 reads, You shall be perfect, which is tam or tamim, which is whole. Be perfect with Yahweh your Elohim. Be whole. Be complete. Meaning be one with Yahweh your Elohim. Be one. That is a commandment. You can't be two or three or four. One true thing in the New Testament, you can't have two masters. It's ironic that the New Testament states it, because all they have is 2 and 3 and 15 different masters. Yet the statement is true. And Yahweh lets you know, there's only one. There's only one head. There's only one ruler. And that's how Yahweh structures his house. Wherefore, how does he structure your house? What do you want? What does he want your house to look like? You think he wants your house to look like a complete opposite of his house? No, he don't want your house to look a complete opposite of his house. He wants your house to look exactly like his house, which is one. Everybody on one accord. Everybody in on one voice. Everybody in one way. Not 2 to 15 different ways. One. Which means what? There can only be one way. The house. So go to the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And we'll see what the Creator commanded the order of a man and a woman that is married needs to look like. And it needs to look like this because this is how Yahweh established his order. And in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse, it says, or the 16th verse, it reads, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto your husband, and he shall rule over thee. So his words to the woman is, your desire, meaning the thing that you want, your desire, your wanting, your covetousness, your desire, what you want shall be unto your master, your husband, your leader. That's who your husband is. It should be unto your husband. What you want shall be unto your husband, meaning what does he want is what you want. And he shall rule over you, meaning he is the governor. He is the ruler. He is the one that Yahweh appointed to rule over you. And that is the commandment Yahweh gave. So the order should be the woman following her husband. And then he said in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. What Yahweh is letting you know here is he, the man, should be and must listen to Yah. He told Adam, he said, look, Adam, of every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge, and the tree of knowledge and of eat good and evil, shall you not eat thereof. Then his wife said, hey, Adam, eat this. He ate it. He listened to her. He should have kept Yah's commandment and listened to Yah and should have smacked that fruit out of her hand. He said, don't touch it. But instead he said, yes, I'll eat that. Let me get some of that fruit. He ate it and he was punished for it. He was reprimanded for this. And so the Creator let us know, you're not to have more than one head. In the house that Yahweh wants man to build, the man is in charge. He's the ruler. And he is taking his orders from Yahweh. Look what it says in the book of Malachi, the second chapter. This is the same design in the nation with the king and the prince and the judge and the prophet. The orders come from Yah. They don't come from anywhere else. And if they are, then you're dealing with a bad leader. Which is why you have to make wise decisions on who you submit to. But you better know before you do it, because then you're going to have yourself some problems. Malachi, the second chapter, verse 13 reads, "And this have you done again, covering the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore?" Why? "Because Yahweh hath been witness between thee and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously," meaning you have been unfaithful, not like what they teach you in America, unfaithful, not like cheating, even though that is unfaithful. But that's not just the unfaithful he's talking about, the treachery he's talking about. He said, "You have been treacherous with your wife of your youth, yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant." When you deal treacherously, unfaithfully, you're not maintaining control of your spirit to be Yahweh's servant, to do what Yahweh said, to walk in the ways of Yah, to uphold the law in your house, to exact the laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments in the house of the Most High. That's dealing treacherously. And of course, if you don't let the law be your rule and your guide as a ruler, yeah, you're going to go out there and make whores out of other people, and you're going to sleep with other men's wives, and you're going to stay out late hanging out with your fellas, and you're going to come home and not rear your children right. You're not going to teach your wife right. You're not going to teach them to eat right. You're just going to have a bunch of corruption and violence and decay in your house, because you haven't done the thing that Yahweh told you to do, which was uphold, gives you the authority to rule in the house. And so don't go to Yahweh crying about anything, coming with these fake offerings, these fake vows, these fake dedications, and you don't uphold the law in your house, and you don't deal righteously and faithful with your own wife. You're not showing her the way. You're calling her out her name. You're saying everything is her fault, that she's no good. And you're the one that's no good, because you haven't dealt righteously to uphold the law of the Most High. But look what Yahweh said. "Yeah, you say, wherefore? Because Yahweh has been witness between thee and the wife of your youth, against whom you, man, have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion." She your side, she your sidekick, she your homie, she run with you, she the one that's there. She's your companion. It's you and her together. You're supposed to be one. She's your companion and the wife of your covenant, the woman of your covenant. Y'all went into a covenant together, made a covenant by sacrifice together. And you not upholding this thing. And did not he make one? Didn't he make one? Hold on. That's what Yahweh's saying. Didn't I make you one? He had the residue of the spirit. I know, man, I put him in charge. That's why. And why, wherefore, one? Why did I even make you one? Why did I make this man in charge? Why did I give him this vision to walk in my laws and to teach them to his family? Why did I do this? Why? Wherefore, one? That he might seek and got an Elohimly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Meaning what? The Most High, you're supposed to be one, he says, so you can bring forth this holy seed. You can bring forth this holy child that will continue to shine forth Yah's light. But if you are dealing treacherous with the wife of your youth, with the wife of your covenant, and how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, look in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, 13th chapter, or the 12th chapter, it says here, in the verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So what kind of man are you in your house? Are you merciful, or are you wicked? Because the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel, meaning they'll be cruel and call it mercy. But a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, the animals that poop outside and stink it up, he even regards their life. So are you a righteous man? Do you regard your children's lives? Do you regard your wife's lives? And if you did, you would uphold the law of Yah in your house. This would be what you lead with and what you close with. This would be your standard day in and day out. This will be your banner. This is your light. You shouldn't even be speaking outside of the law of the Most High as a ruler in your house. Everything you do should be according to the word of Yah. Now, Yahweh said to Adam, and you hearkened unto your wife, even though I commanded you not to eat this. And what are we doing today as men? We're hearkening unto not only what our wives say, but what our friends say, and what our side chicks say, and what the TV say, and what your kids say. You're just listening to everyone else except what Yah says. And that is not the way to sow unity, but that is exactly how discord is sown. And you can't be one in that manner, and then you can't raise that holy seed. Again, in Proverbs, the 13th chapter, the 10th verse. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So only by this pride, this number one thing that Yahweh hates, this proud look, that's how you have contention in your house. So if you are already ordained as the master of the house, because that's what the husband is. He's the master of the house. He's the leader. And you're already ordained as the leader. You don't have to walk around beating your chest. I'm the man up in here. You don't have to do this. You can just acknowledge Yahweh. That Yahweh is the man up in here. Yahweh is king. Yahweh is your God. What are you going to do, husband? Your wife says, we're going to follow Yah. And this is who you should be listening to. This is how you seed or sow righteousness, by listening to the words of the Creator and not this pride. Yahweh said that you have to seek meekness. Seek humility in order to gather yourselves together. Not this weak pride that people have been taught to think is strong. A couple other proverbs I want you to see. As a husband, as a man that has this heavy responsibility to be a ruler, and if your desires are, if your wife's desires are to be unto you, then don't you want to have righteous desires? Don't you want to have just desires? Wholesome desires? Torah-based desires? Divine desires? Look what it says in Proverbs 17. Verse 14 reads, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Meaning what? He say the beginning of strife is as one that letteth out water. Meaning you're just going to let this thing, it's just going to start flowing. And it's going to get wet everywhere. And it's going to destroy. And it's just going to mess up your whole day. That's what the beginning of strife is like. So what does that mean? Just shut the valve off. Don't even mess with it. Don't even play with the knob. Don't mess with this thing. Just keep the water off. We don't need this thing soaking up everything. So as soon as you even smell strife, you just need to be like, look, we ain't going to do that. Because Yahweh is a witness between you and the wife of your covenant. He's witnessing. How are you going to speak to my daughter? How are you going to treat my daughter? How are you going to behave with my daughter? Are you going to honor her, or are you going to dishonor me by dishonoring her? Yahweh is witness, so don't even let strife become part of your daily life, because this is not what will bring forth this holy seed. The children will see the strife and debate, the contention, in the rigmarole, and they will become disassociated with this way of Yah that you speak of. They'll become confused. Them to services, and you all will smile at everyone, and everybody's smiling. And then as soon as you close the car door, she cussing you out, you cussing her out. The children is looking like, I don't even understand this. But when they start getting older, they're going to be like, man, this ain't real. What y'all doing ain't real. Look what it say in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Verse 6 reads, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Meaning, if you in your house is nothing but strife and contention, you training your child to be a striving, contentious person. That's what they're going to be if that's all they see. And they're not going to be holy because pride brings contention. What do you think a child is going to learn if all they see is contention? They're going to learn pride. If it's a woman child, she's going to learn to be a contentious woman. If it's a man child, he's going to learn to be a contentious man. They're both going to learn to be very arrogant and prideful people because you train them in strife. You train them in contention. So leave off this strife. Stop this contention. Put down the pride and seek Yah and become one. And the woman should do this by following her husband while your desire is unto him. You want what he wants. In the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter, it reads in verse 1, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, Yahweh hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife." Now, why in the world would she do that? And how in the world did she do that? How did that even all work? Because Abraham knew how to deal just in judgment. His wife knew how to deal injustice in judgment. They were all one. They were dealing in unity. His wife, Abram, and Hagar. They had one goal. And there was one boss. There was one head. There was one master. And that was Abraham. So they knew who to listen to. But why would she even do that? Because Abraham wanted children. And at this time, she couldn't bear any. And so she wanted what he wanted. What did he want? Children. So what did she want? Children. She couldn't have any children. So she found somebody that could have children, and what would be more perfect than her own servant who she rules over? So now the child belongs to her and her husband also. And Sarah wanted what Abraham wanted. She followed Abraham. Because Abraham is her ruler. And she did according to Abraham's desire. If Abraham wanted ice cold water at 12 o'clock, Sarah would have got him ice cold water. What's that? What's getting ice cold water? She gave him a whole wife. So you know she's going to do small things. But the way our sisters have been raised and taught by society today is get your own water. Get your own ice. Help yourself. What you want me to help you? All women today have been taught that we supposed to help them. The man's supposed to help. I'm supposed to help you. And you don't help me. I need help. No, you go and do that. You help yourself. You supposed to help me. Where the money at? Where the cash at? Where the dollars at? This is what they've been trained. And we are showing you that this is bad teachings. These are bad doctrines. That's not the way the Most High wanted it. The way the Most High wants it is that you help your husband, and your husband helps you. Y'all are together. Sarah wanted what Abraham wanted because she was his wife, and she hearkened to the law of the Most High and did this thing. Your husband and wife are supposed to be together. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. You'll see that this is not about you help me and I don't get no help, or I don't help, or I help you and you don't help me. No, we help each other. In Ecclesiastes, and this is what your children need to see. Abba and Ema, mother and father, helping one another, serving one another, taking care of one another. Because if they see you take care of each other, then they will take care of their brothers and sisters. They will take care of their husbands and wives. They will continue the holy behavior that you should be displaying before them, not the contention, not the sowing of discord, not the proud look, not the lying tongue, not the shedding of innocent blood, not the mischief and the false witnessing, the backbiting, the tail-bearing. It is an abomination if a husband or a wife tail-bears on their own spouse. This is an abomination. Even to the children. Parents will tail-bear to their own children and start talking about their own spouse. Or they'll talk about your baby mama or your baby daddy. They'll start just slandering them and scorning them. The children are being abused in this way. And you're training them not in the ways of the Most High. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, verse 9 reads, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, not for his labor. Two are better than one because they together as one have a good reward for their labor, because they both should be putting in work. For if they fall, then one will lift up his fellow. You see, that's what happened. It's not that the wife just helps the husband and the husband don't help the wife. They help each other. You lift up your fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they shall have heat. That means she could give you heat, he could give you heat. Meaning what? You help each other. That's how you become one. Not you just help me and I don't help you. Or I just help you and you don't help me. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Meaning, two is better than one, but once you start multiplying, three, four, five, now you got a tight cord. Now you have a tight bond. And this is how man and woman should behave in unity, with mercy towards one another, with love towards one another. Look at this book, Leviticus, 19th chapter. Verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yah. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh. This is talking about your family. Don't hate them. Don't bear grudges. Don't seek vengeance against them. Just love them as you love yourself. And the problem is many of us don't love ourselves. So you got to start loving yourself. And then once you love yourself, then you can love others. But man and woman married should not be including themselves in any of this kind of behavior, vindictive behavior. You shouldn't be hearing that a woman is vindictive. You shouldn't hear that. You shouldn't be hearing that he's vindictive, that he has a grudge against you. Tick for tat, blow for blow. This is not the way of our people. Yahweh wants you to deal in love, to deal in unity, humility. That means the man has to humble himself to Yahweh. You are only the ruler because Yahweh ordained you as the ruler in your house. And if Yahweh ordained you as the ruler in your house, then you should be listening to the one that ordained you, the one that appointed you, because that is your head. And the wife must listen to the husband, because that is her ruler. Look what the Creator lets you know in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. How else can one have unity in their household if they're not following the laws of Yah? In Genesis 18, verse 19, it reads here, "For I know him," speaking of Abraham. Let's start at verse 17. "And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him," meaning his family, his seed, will be a blessed people. "For I know him, that he will command his children," meaning he's not going to suggest to his children that they should keep the law. He's going to command them. He's going to lay it out flat. He's going to give them the picture, the goal, the vision, and he's going to order that this is what we are doing. "For I know him," he's that he will command his children and his household. So everybody in the household, after him. After him, meaning to follow him, because he is doing what? "And they shall keep the way of Yah," because that's what he's doing. "To do justice," that's what he's doing. "And judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." That is the model of a man that should be ruling his house. In justice and judgment, the way of Yah. Once this is done, then you have order. And that means what? That means it is not the place of the children, the servants, the wives, to step forward and begin to attempt to bring forth contention. And if they do bring forth contention, it is the place of the husband, the way the word of Yah told you to end it. And he said, leave off from strife, meaning you walk away. You set forth the boundary. We're not crossing this line right here. If you got to go to the rooftop, if you got to just shut your mouth and be quiet. Look how Abraham handled a controversial situation. In the book of Genesis, the 21st chapter, verse 8, it reads, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, Abraham's other wife, and his other child, Ishmael. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking, meaning he was being a fool. He was mocking a little boy. What kind of... This boy was about 12, 13 years old now. He's mocking a little boy. And where did he get this spirit, this arrogant spirit from? I'll show you where he got it from. In the book of Genesis, the 16th chapter, it says in verse 4, and he, speaking of Abraham, went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. What does that mean? That means Hagar looked at Sarah with despise, like, I'm better than you. I'm haughty now. I got the child, and I'm somebody better than you. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid unto thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Yahweh judged between me and thee. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of Yah found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I am fleeing from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of Yah said unto her, return unto thy mistress and submit, meaning humble yourself, under her hand. Humble yourself, Hagar, and don't be looking at her all crazy. So Hagar had a haughty look about her. And then when Ishmael was older, back in Genesis 21, in verse 9, it said, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Meaning this boy, he was being goofy. He had a prideful look. He dealt arrogantly. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And why? Because he wasn't dealing in justice and judgment. And Sarah had the foresight to know he gonna be a problem. They both gonna be some problems and create what? Strife and contention. And Sarah was trying to leave off from this contention before it even got started. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And Elohim said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And so when Abraham had a controversial task, a controversial time in his house, he didn't just turn to Sarah and say, shut up, I ain't taking nobody out of my house. They're going to follow my rule, and you're going to follow my rule. Listen to me now, I'm the man here, you hear? He didn't do that. He just went to Yahweh. Yahweh knew that Abraham loved his family, and he didn't want to do this thing. But Yahweh let Abraham know, do what she said, because Isaac is going to be the one that I call. You don't got to worry. Ishmael will be okay. And Abraham did that. He listened to Yah. He followed Yah wholly. And sometimes that means listening to your wife, even your children, even your counselor, because they are giving you counsel in Yah. But you confirm that with the Most High through seeking after the Creator. And this is how you run your house. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 4th verse, it reads, hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh with all your heart and all your soul. But look what it says, even in verse 6. All and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is what you should be giving your children. This is how you raise this holy seed. This is how you maintain unity through the words of the Creator. See, this is where arrogancy is extinguished. You can't have haughtiness and pride amongst the family if you have built your house on Yahweh. You have to be like Joshua. And what did Joshua say in the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, the 14th verse, where it reads, now therefore, fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the deities which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye Yahweh. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yah, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the deities which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the Elohims of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me, this is what Joshua was saying, as for me and my house, meaning me and everybody in my house, my family, as for me and my house, we, not I, but we, because this is rule in my house. This is order in my house. We will serve Yahweh. That's the ground you must stand on to promote and to grow in unity. And also, the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter. See, when you do these things, then you have true unity, because you're agreed there's only one way to go. And in the book of Amos, the third chapter, verse 3 reads, can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course they can't. You can't walk together if you're not agreed. A man cannot rule his house if everybody in it is in disagreement with him. And you got to understand what you're disagreeing with. You're disagreeing with the commandment of Yah. You're not disagreeing with that man. You're making it about that man, but you're disagreeing with Yah. You need to agree with Yahweh. What did Yahweh say? And do what he said. In the book of Psalms 127, reads in verse 1, except Yahweh build a house, they labor in vain that built it. Except Yahweh keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Meaning, why are you even doing any of this? If you ain't dealing with Yahweh, it's pointless. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. This is something Yahweh gives you, these children. This house should be built on Yah so he can reward you with children. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And if your house is united, your husband and wife are united, your children are united, when the enemies come to the gate, your children ain't going to say, yeah, man, come get these fools. They've been running this house all wrong. Your children ain't going to call 241 kids in Child Protective Services. They're not going to let the enemies in at the gate. The enemy's going to come to the gate, and your children are going to represent the light that you've been representing, the oneness that you've been representing, and everybody will be one, and everybody will serve Yah, and everybody will be righteous, so that everybody can give Yahweh his praise and make these words how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, be shown forth through the masses and through the world. And everybody will know that it came from Yahweh's word, that this family and these families, the families of the children of Israel, are one with their Elohim, and they're one with each other because they serve the one true Elohim, who is Yah, and they believe him and they walk with him. And this is how we have our family be unified. It starts with Yahweh and it concludes with Yahweh. And if you go outside of that, you will have strife, you will have contention, and you will not have this beautiful unity, which Yahweh said to gather ourselves together. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
I'm the messenger of Yah, stepping out of Beulah. From Babylon to Zion, my chains are looser in my mind. But out here, the jakes are shooting. The judge for hire, the jury's a straight liar. Just to see Israel fried up.